I'm standing in the cold and flu aisle at a Walgreens in New York, and I'm bugging some customers.
My name is Ramik Benson. I'm from Brooklyn.
Can you tell me what you're buying?
Robitussin. I have a stuffy nose, congested, cough, everything basically.
Benson is one of many poor souls coughing and sneezing his way through Walgreens. Like a lot of customers, he's never really thought about how his cold medicine got to the shelf. But he thinks it can't be that hard.
No, it shouldn't be. You know what your customers want. And basically, the hot products always sell. So a manager or a store owner would see that and would know that.
Another customer named Lucy Alvarez thinks she's coming down with something.
Probably a head cold.
She's buying a cold medicine called Zarabies. She's not too concerned with how it got to Walgreens either.
They take care of that. So you're the customer, you come in and you get whatever you want, and you go about your day.
Honestly, it probably does look invisible.
That's Dustin Sullivan.
I'm the category manager for cough, cold, and allergy, based here in Northbrook. So that's your Vicks, Mucinex, Zyrtec, Allegra medications.
Sullivan may be invisible to customers, but he's one of the unsung heroes of cold and flu season. He's part of an elite 8-person team at Walgreens. All they do all year long is try to figure out when customers will get sick and what medicines they'll buy.
The business of forecasting is, I liken it to rocket science. I mean, it is very sophisticated algorithms.
Reuben Sloan is the head honcho in charge of all of Walgreens' supply chain. I visited him at corporate headquarters in Chicago. The office is modern with lots of glass doors and windows. There's a gym for employees and a doctor's office on the second floor. Sloan is a high-level executive in a fancy suit, but he has a big smile and that Midwestern hospitality.
Hey, how you doing?
Hi, Reuben. How are you?
Yeah, nice to meet you. Thanks for coming.
Sloan says the team tracks the cold and flu through the South and up into North America.
So it comes up from the Southern Hemisphere, Texas, Florida, and then it can make a sharp left turn, go to the West Coast, or kind of right turn and go up the East Coast.
Then they look at store sales and try to recognize patterns. The team predicts things right about 80% of the time, but they're getting better at it. And they have a few secrets up their sleeve. To figure out when people are about to get sick in a certain town, they look at sales of other products.
Whether that's a hand sanitizer, even face masks, could be orange juice, could be facial tissue.
It could also be toothbrushes or chicken soup. Those are all part of the formulas. Because what's the first thing you do when you're getting sick? You say, hey, maybe if I chug some orange juice or change my toothbrush, I'll stave off this cold. Enough people do it that if the team sees toothbrush or OJ sales jump, they know they have to send more medicine to stores in the area. Even when they track basic things, like sales of cough syrup, they do it at hyper speed. Here's what an average day looks like.
So right now what we see is the Northeast, we're seeing sales increase as the flu moves up the East Coast.
Sullivan and the team crowd around a color-coded heat map of the United States that's projected onto the wall. It shows sales for every cold and flu item in Walgreens' 8,000 stores. A team member named Andy Kettlewell zooms in on New York.
We see a couple of things. One, Manhattan is on fire from a sales perspective out there. Total sales, you know, really cranking out there. And then we can drill down even further.
He clicks on the store where Ramik Benson bought his Robitussin.
We have a large increase, up 25% in syrups. We also see that cold sores are up 300% in this store.
That means Walgreens is going to have to send more medicine to New York stores, and soon. But this is an easy day.
Swine flu. It's infected 8 people in this country, 1,000
people. That's a total of 50 cases now in 8 U.S. states.
Right now, and the official count of the number of cases is getting close to 100.
No one knew that people in the United States would react so strongly to what was coming over on the news.
That's Sloan again. When H1N1 hit in 2009, Walgreens did not see it coming. Its customers couldn't get enough hand sanitizer, so it ordered more. And the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention recommended that sick people wear surgical masks. So the team bought a bunch of those, too.
People were panicking. The manufacturing base built all these face masks and all this hand sanitizer. And then suddenly the crisis passed and there was a glut.
The hand sanitizer sold even after H1N1 peaked. But the face masks, those are still sitting in a Walgreens warehouse.
Yeah, we're trying to figure out what we're going to do with them.
The H1N1 pandemic was a big moment for Walgreens. That's when it realized it couldn't just rely on algorithms. It needed a team that did nothing but track the cold and flu. People who remember that Americans are too vain to wear face masks unless it's the apocalypse.
What
does Walgreens stand to lose if you mess it up?
A lot of money.
That's Dustin Sullivan with Walgreens. He wouldn't say exactly how much money, but it's not just that. It's also customer trust. Here's Andy Kettlewell.
If you're sick, Walgreens has to be in stock on cough cold. We can't be out of stock.
Are they succeeding? Ramik Benson, the customer we met at Walgreens in Brooklyn, says there's always room for improvement. Have you ever come into Walgreens and they didn't have what you were looking for?
Yes, I would say yes. Some gummy bears and some gummy worms. But other than that, they're pretty good.
For The Pulse, I'm Marielle Segarra.